The White House today responded to the recent spate of attacks on occupying forces in Iraq. Spokesman Ari Fleischer said the president mourns the loss of every American, every Briton who was killed, but he's determined to see this mission through, and he will. Earlier today, my colleague Melissa talked with Secretary of State Colin Powell in his offices at the State Department about the U.S. presence in Iraq, the search for weapons of mass destruction, and the whereabouts of Saddam Hussein.
Mr. Secretary, welcome back to the program.
Thank you very much.
This week, Lieutenant General John Abizaid, the next head of Central Command, told Congress that for the foreseeable future, we will require a large number of troops for Iraq. How do you define foreseeable future?
I think for months, we are going to need a large presence of troops, as General Abizaid said, in order to make sure that we stabilize the country and gain the necessary level of security. I can't be more precise than that because we don't know. But what the president has said is that we will do what is necessary. And that means keeping a significant presence there, not only of U.S. troops, but getting in non-U.S. troops to assist us. And I'm pleased that a number of countries have expressed a willingness to contribute troops, and we're now finalizing those arrangements for other nation troops to arrive.
You say months. Others have said possibly 5 years, possibly even a decade.
No, everybody is speculating on years and months, but that's not helpful. We don't know. We want to get the situation stabilized and secure as quickly as possible. We want to put in place an Iraqi government selected by the Iraqi people as quickly as we can. Ambassador Bremer, the head of the Provisional Authority in Iraq, hopes to, by the middle of July, put in place a political committee of 25 to 30 Iraqi leaders that would begin to take over responsibility for the ministries, at the same time create a constitutional committee that would draw up a constitution for the country so that that can lead to elections. So we're moving as quickly as we can, but security is the first priority. But political development is a priority, and perhaps even more important than either one of those is economic development, so people can start to see that the economy is reviving.
You mentioned security. We've seen in recent days, at the very least, a spike in attacks against U.S. forces, possibly what some consider an escalating campaign. You've said before that you consider yourself a soldier, not a diplomat. And I wonder, as a soldier, how do you explain these attacks on U.S. forces, the loss of life on both the American side and on the side of Iraqi civilians, to the American people?
I would say to the American people that we always recognize this would be a dangerous operation. And even though major combat action is over, we always expected there would be this residual problem of Fedayeen, of old Saddam cronies, and others who are coming in to make mischief, and they would have to be dealt with. And I hope the American people will demonstrate the patience and the understanding of the situation. And my experience with the American people is when they know it's going to be tough and it's going to take a while, they will give us that patience, will give us that understanding as we work our way through with this. We hate losing any young American's life, but sometimes that is what is necessary in the cause of freedom.
I'd like to turn to the mobile trailers that have been found in Iraq. You, back in your speech in February before the UN, called the possibility of these mobile weapons labs one of the most worrisome things that you saw about the Saddam Hussein regime. CIA and defense analysts have concluded that these were mobile weapons labs, but your own State Department intelligence analysts disagree. They're not convinced. So who's right? Is it your own analysts or is it the CIA?
My analysts do not disagree. They do not say that they are not mobile vans. What my analyst said to me almost a month ago now was that they were not at the same confidence level as the CIA and the DIA. And when they said to me, boss, you know, we are not entirely sure yet, and therefore we would like to see more analysis done, we passed that all to the CIA to let them know that there was this opinion. A month has now passed since that memo. My guys would still like to see more data. But the CIA and the Defense Intelligence Agency, the DIA, are the ones who are on the scene exploiting the van and looking at all of it. And they are confident of their judgment. And their judgment, as validated by the Director of Central Intelligence, is that's what they are. They are mobile biological warfare facilities. And there will always be, you know, different judgments and opinions in this business, and you essentially have to have somebody who makes the decision, and that person is the Director of Central Intelligence, George Tenet, and that is his opinion right now.
We asked Secretary Powell what he made of the fact that no toxins were found in those trailers. He said it could mean one of several things.
One, they hadn't been used yet to develop toxins, or secondly, they had been sterilized so thoroughly that there's no residual left. May well be that they haven't been used yet. Our concern was that Iraq was keeping in place this capability, waiting for the day when they were free of sanctions and can go about putting all of their programs back in place. This particularly applies to the nuclear program. What I said in February when I spoke to the UN was that they had the brain power, they had the plans, and they were working on acquiring the capability, and whenever they were free of UN constraints or other constraints, nobody was breathing down their neck. There was no doubt in my mind that Saddam Hussein still had the intention of developing such a capability.
But we ask, did Saddam pose an imminent threat?
The imminent threat is, we don't know. The imminent threat is that suddenly this biological warfare lab, for example, could have been put into use, and the possibility that anything that came out of that lab or any of the chemical capability he had could have been given to terrorist organizations. And the point was, should we wait until we see a chemical device exploded or turned loose or some toxin released in London or Paris or Frankfurt or New York or Los Angeles and then decide we have an imminent threat? Or should we act when we know that there is a regime that has said, we are not going to tell you what we have been doing for 12 years. We are not going to turn over our programs. We are simply going to ignore 12 years worth of UN resolutions. And it's now coming forward. And I think as we interview more people, as we exploit the documents that we have in our possession and more coming forward, the case will be obvious to all once again.
Finally, we asked Secretary Powell how troublesome it is for U.S. goals in Iraq that the whereabouts of Saddam Hussein remain unknown.
We'd like to know where he is. We don't know whether he is alive or dead. And as long as that is unknown, there is a degree of uncertainty in the country. Is he organizing elements that are resisting us? Is he going to come back, some people think? Well, he's not coming back. He may be alive, but he's not going to be marching down the main street in Baghdad trying to get back into his palace. And so he has been removed from any future role in Iraq. And sooner or later, his fate will be known one way or the other. But because it is at the moment unknown, it does introduce a bit of uncertainty into the situation, more on the part of the Iraqi people than on the part of the U.S. soldiers. They're going about their jobs in the magnificent way that U.S. soldiers, sailors, airmen, Marines always go about their jobs, focusing on the mission at hand, which is security and to help the Iraqi people build a better life for themselves.
Secretary of State Colin Powell in an interview at his office today.